What a loving church we have, amen? Isn't that good? Loving, friendly. Boy, you feel like you're home when you come here. We send our greetings to Pastor Jimmy and Annette, way off in Tennessee, someplace like that. Pastor Brian's with them, I think. So I got the call to be here. I love it when the stars align and all the pastors are gone and I get to step in. I'm Tommy Hayes, and my wife, Rocio, and I, we lead a ministry called Messiah Ministries here in town, and this is our home-based church. We just always feel so loved, so welcome, so blessed here. Well, did y'all know today is Palm Sunday? Christians all around the world, they praise God. They celebrate the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem to begin the Holy Week. So we're just joining today with Christians all around the world celebrating this day, looking forward to the coming of Christ one day soon. Amen? And this is the beginning of a holy week, and we look forward to Resurrection Sunday. We look forward to the day we celebrate the coming alive of the one who laid down his life for us, who poured out his blood, and God raised him from the dead, Jesus Christ. Amen? And praying this morning about a word and some scriptures the Lord gave me in this holy week, but also to apply it to our lives today. Isn't that good when we can take what God's word says over 2,000 years ago, and his word is still alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God piercing our hearts, the word of God changing our lives even today. So as we celebrate this week, this holy week, let's welcome the Holy One to be in our hearts. Welcome the Holy One to change us from the inside out. And then I realized this is not only the first day of Holy Week, Passover, Palm Sunday. We've also entered into Passover. That began, you know, on the biblical calendar. Passover began at sundown last night. And that's the holiest day in the Old Testament festivals and the appointed days of the Lord. Passover, you know, that's when we celebrate how God delivered his people out of Egypt. And when Pharaoh, who was a type that speaks of the enemy of our souls, the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, was holding the people in bondage and captivity. And God sent his word, and God sent his signs, sent his wonders. And finally he said, I'm going to send an angel of death. And death will take the firstborn of all that is in Egypt. Unless, and he spoke a word to his children, the children of Israel, you take the blood of a lamb, the blood of a lamb, and apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel of your doorways. And then when the angel of death comes, he will pass over your home. What a prophetic picture of the blood of the Lamb of God. For there is a Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And even though the enemy of our souls would keep us in death and bondage and captivity and sin and want our souls to go to hell forever, there is one who has poured out his blood that we could be saved, that we could be freed, that we could be delivered out of bondage, whatever bondage we're in, and delivered into the kingdom of his glorious light. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So that's the Passover season, and just as you go through the days of this week, of the Holy Week, just at the time when they were slaying the lambs in the field to apply the blood at the temple on the Passover in the days of Jesus, he offered himself to be nailed to a cross and poured out his blood for us. And we have no idea the fullness of all that he was doing on our behalf. In that moment when Jesus hung upon the cross, when he became the Passover lamb who was slain for us, in a moment, the Bible says, all the sin of the world was laid upon Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And in that moment, we can't even fully comprehend. In that moment, when all the sin of the world is put on, when Jesus himself becomes sin for us, that we could be forgiven and freed and restored to relationship with God, when every unholy thing in our lives would be laid upon Jesus, that we could have relationship again with the Holy One. In that moment, a moment when Jesus cries out, Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, something happened. We don't even fully understand those words or what that means, but in that moment, the Father turns his face away. Jesus became sin for us. We don't have the slightest comprehension of what all happened in that moment, how something shifted forever, eternally in that moment. He took all of our punishment, our sins, our sorrows, our griefs, our sicknesses, our curses, everything that was less than God's perfect will was laid upon Jesus, that we might be saved, we might be whole, we might be free. That's what the Passover is all about. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And even though that was laid upon him, even though he actually suffered, died, was crucified, buried, the grave couldn't hold him, hell couldn't hold him, God the Father raised him from the dead. And that's Resurrection Sunday. Who's ready for Resurrection Sunday? But here's the thing, even though we're ready, something stirs in our heart, we're ready for the resurrection. We can't wait for the resurrection. But this came to me this morning, sitting at the Whataburger parking lot. I got there before they got there. Before they literally didn't even have the doors open this morning. I just kind of needed a place to pray. You ever just need a place to pray? Got to get up early before anybody else. All right. So I'm there, and this phrase came to my heart this morning. Prepare for resurrection. Prepare for resurrection. And really, Psalm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. Not named after our palms, but after the palm branches, you know, that they waved as Jesus came in. But Palm Sunday is preparation for Resurrection Sunday. And I believe there's a word for us today, something for God in us today, that before we leave here today, God would grant us the grace of his Holy Spirit to prepare for resurrection. I believe in some of these scriptures, these words that the Lord's given me to share today, it's a preparation for resurrection. To prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our attitudes, prepare our words, prepare ourselves in humility before the living God, that we can experience the power of God. For as the Bible says, the preaching of the cross, it is foolishness, but to us who believe, it is the power of God. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for the power of God, the power of the cross. So today, may God prepare us for resurrection. Let's just say, yes, Lord, prepare me for resurrection. Anything you need to do in me, do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't pray those kind of prayers unless you mean it, because God will answer those prayers. God loves us. He's for us. So, Palm Sunday, where that's recorded in the Bible, one of the places many of the gospel writers speak of it, but here's as told through the words of Mark in the Gospel of Mark chapter 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And Jesus said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. And then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour is already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So that's the day of Palm Sunday. That's the first Palm Sunday. when they're cutting the palms and they're laying the branches and they're declaring, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Their hearts were full of praise to God. That word Hosanna, it comes from the Aramaic, the language they spoke in that region. Hosanna, it means save us. It's a prayer, it's a praise, save us. They were crying in their hearts what they longed to have, the salvation of God. Jesus was the Son of David. Jesus was the Messiah, the one. There are many scriptures about the coming of this Messiah, the one who would be anointed by God, who would proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, who would heal the brokenhearted, who would set the captives free with the love of God. Amen? That is the Messiah. Messiah is Mashiach, the anointed one in the Hebrew of the Old Testament. We have the word Christos in the Greek of the New Testament. Christos, Mashiach, it both means the anointed one of God. Jesus is the anointed one of God. And the people were longing for one who would come. They were longing for someone who would come and set them free. Set them free from the oppression of Rome. Set them free from the bondage of the tyranny they were under. They longed for the coming of the Messiah. And they'd heard about this one right before this in Mark chapter 10, earlier chapters. What's happened is God raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said, come forth, Lazarus. Take off his grave clothes. That's somebody who experienced a resurrection. Resurrection from death. And the word spread. And here the crowds are. They're in Jerusalem. Here he comes. Here comes Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Right before he comes into Jerusalem, he's walking by and there's a blind man, Bartimaeus, crippled and blind. He's there and he hears Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And Bartimaeus wouldn't have anything of it. He says, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops and he turns and says, bring him to me. And he speaks a word to Bartimaeus, your faith has made you whole. That's the power of the Messiah, power of the anointed one of God. God who comes to proclaim the coming of the kingdom, healing the brokenhearted, setting the captives free. That's the heart of Jesus. And the people were ready to experience a Jesus like that. And so, notice before he comes, and this is the part, I've been praying into this week. I've got my morning by morning prayer time, and God will give me pictures and scriptures and words to pray. And he's had me stuck on this imagery of Jesus coming to Jerusalem all week. And several parts of it just stood out to me. Do you ever read the Bible and this part just stands out to you like never before? What was really speaking to me, standing out to me this week, was this idea about Jesus sent two disciples to go to a place where there was a donkey. I know you Texans, you think it says colt, you're thinking about a horse or a pony. But it's a donkey. It's the foal, the young foal of a donkey. And he says, go there. And you will find the colt that will be tied up and it's never been ridden. Now, isn't that something? God knew, Jesus knew that donkey would be there, right? Y'all think God knows all about you? Think he knows what's tied up in your life? You think what's ready to be ridden in your life, what's just been passive or waiting and you're longing in your life? God is the God who already sees the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He sees it all. It's all present to God all the time. Our choices are real, our free will choices, all that is real. God already knows those choices, but he already sees them. He sees the choices. You'll make your choices. Some of us need to make a choice today that says, King of glory, come into my heart. Some of us need to make a choice today that says, Lord, I've tried to do this my way, and I've been longing on your coming my way, and I need you. Some of us, we need to make a choice today that says, Lord, I feel tied up. I feel stuck. I feel weary. I feel wounded. I'm wondering about my purpose, my calling. And today is the day to make a choice where we turn to God. We open up our heart to him. We let the King of glory come in. But God already knew there'd be a donkey there. Said, you go, you'll find a donkey. And he even prophesied, he predicted, he already knew there'd be a few questions. Well, what are you doing? Who do you think you are coming and untying my donkey? But Jesus already gave him the words to speak. Tell them the Lord has need of it. Doesn't that foreshadow something Jesus said? You'll be brought before judges. You'll be brought before authorities. You'll be brought into difficult places. But think not what you shall say ahead of time, for the Spirit will give you the words to say. Well, what a picture right there. They're going to question about taking this donkey, but you just tell them the Lord has need of it. And they gave him the donkey. They gave him the donkey. They untied the donkey. And those disciples brought the donkey to Jesus. Now, in some ways, could we humble ourselves a moment to see ourselves in the donkey? I mean, y'all think God can use a donkey? Didn't he use a donkey to speak to Balaam? Didn't he use a donkey to carry Jesus right on into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? And I think there's a lot we can learn from the donkey. A lot we can learn from the example, right? Just look at your neighbor and say, you're a donkey. Now slap them back and say, you're more of a donkey than I am. And say, na 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 na. That donkey was a donkey that had never been ridden. No one had ever sat on the donkey. What that speaks to me is some of us in our donkeyness. We're what, oh God, I gave my heart to you. God, I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit just like everybody else. I have something in me that says, God, I want to finish my course. I want to run my race. I want to hear it said, well done, good and faithful servant. But God, the honest truth is, I'm not sure what my gifts are. I'm not sure what my place is. I'm not sure what it is you have for me. Why am I in this world? Why do I live in this town? Why do I have these people around me in my life? Anybody ever have those kind of questions? See, that's like the donkey that has never been ridden. No one's ever sat on the donkey. Did that donkey have eternal purpose and destiny? I mean, chosen by God. God knew a long time before that day that that donkey was going to be there. In fact, the prophet Zechariah prophesied 550 years before that day in Zechariah 9:9. Prophesied, rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and he has salvation. He is lowly, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. 550 years. Before that day would happen. Shh. I almost went into tongues there, but I'm trying to be calm. Woo! Oh, ho, ho. Y'all think I'm kidding. 550 years, God prophesied that day would come. You think he already knows everything about you, every hair on your head, every day that was written of you was written in his book of life, even as he was knitting you together in your mother's womb. And I said the mother's womb because birth begins at conception, not at birth. Thank you, Lord God. The Bible says that. He knows all about us. Our choices are real. We've got a choice. He says before us, life and death, blessing and curses. Serve the Lord or serve yourself. Our choices are real, but God already sees every choice we'll make. And how many of y'all, God wants us to make the right choices, the good choices. And even if we make bad choices, wrong choices. Anybody here ever made some bad choices? Yeah. Even if we made bad choices, wrong choices, got off the path of our life, off the path of our destiny, like rhymes with Bethany, path of our destiny, if we will humble ourselves and turn back to God, if we will humble ourselves and turn back to God, he is faithful and just, and if we confess our sins, he will forgive us and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. That's a pretty big word. Like Pastor Jimmy says, y'all know what the Koine Greek really means when it says all unrighteousness. How much? All. That's everything, every bit of it, every mistake, every failure, every regret, every time you wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh God, how could I do that? Wow, I really missed that. The blood of Jesus is greater. The blood of Jesus is greater to cleanse that and free you and release you. And God can even take the battle, the struggles, the failures, whatever you've been through, and turn it all around and cause good to come out of it. Isn't that great? That's the God we serve, the God who redeems, the God who brings good things, amazing things, out of even the sinful, painful, hurtful things in our lives. So he knows his plan. He has a destiny. So if you're like that donkey that's never been ridden, no one's ever sat on you, know this: God created you. You have an identity as a child of God when you have Jesus in your heart. And God has a plan, a destiny, a purpose for you. Somebody said it like this: I know the plans I have for you, for your good and not for your harm, to prosper you with a hope and a future, says the Lord. That sounds kind of like Jeremiah 29, doesn't it? Who here has got that on their refrigerator? That's a good one to have. Good one to have memorized. Good to have in your spirit. Because no matter what we've been through, what we're going through, if we give it to God, he can turn it all around. He can bring good out of it and let his light shine through it. So even today, I know there's some in this place that have struggled to know your purpose, your destiny. Or maybe what's your purpose, your destiny in the next season, the next time of your life, when you're about to go through some new circumstances, a way you haven't been before. Who thinks God will be there with you? The God who never leaves you, never forsakes you. Jesus said, I'm with you how often? Always. He's the God that's always with us, whatever we're going through. He already sees it. He's already made provision for it. But if there's anybody here, say, Lord, I want you to ride me like that donkey. Lord, I want to be your donkey. I want to carry you into Jerusalem. I want to carry you wherever you send me, but I need to know who I am. I need to know how you've called me, gifted me. I want to live into it. Let this be a day where God is preparing you for resurrection. Let this be a day where God resurrects your hope, resurrects your passion, resurrects what he's called you to do. Had a man between services come up, and he's called to be an evangelist. He's kind of had it on the side, and God was stirring in his heart today. God, bring me into my calling today. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. If he's really that good, he'd be back here for the second service. No. Let God break that off. Break off discouragement. Break all of us today where hope deferred has made the heart sick. Where you've grown unsettled and you're questioning your identity, questioning your ability, question insecurity. Today, let there be deliverance and healing of insecurities and fears and every way you feel disqualified. I just sense that even right now, the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. Just receive this, if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now that just stir to my spirit. There are some here today that are struggling in their hearts like hope deferred. They feel disqualified. They feel like what they've done, what they've been through, what was done to them somehow has canceled their destiny. And even though your word says the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable, they are without repentance. I declare that word in Jesus' name. And Lord, you say in James 4:7, whenever we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Let's just declare that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every devil that's been tormenting me, discouraging me, making me feel disqualified, unworthy, insecure, canceled. I renounce it. I cast it out of my life. Go right now to the feet of Jesus. Be judged by Jesus. And you never return, in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, I just agree in the name of Jesus. Right now, there was deliverance and freedom, God, breaking chains, setting us free of things that had a grip on us. Many of us here today, that jaw is broken right now. We declare resurrection power, resurrection of the power of the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit of living God, arise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that things can happen. We don't have to have big manifestations. You don't embarrass us or harm us, but you do set us free. If you're willing to receive the freedom of the Lord, tell him, thank you, Lord. I receive freedom in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. See, sometimes you don't have to wait till the altar call, the corporate prayer. You just get on into it when the Holy Spirit moves. Amen. Isn't this a great church where you can just do that? So some are like that donkey who'd never been ridden. And the donkey was what? Tied. Wow. We want to be served by the Lord. We want to be used by the Lord. We have an identity as children of God. Have a destiny, a plan of God in our lives. But something has us tied up. We're bound up, stuck, shut down, afraid. Anybody ever feel like that? Who do you think that comes from? See, Jesus said, John 10:10, I came that you would have life and have it abundantly, but there is a thief. The thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Anybody know the thief? See, he is wicked. He's evil. He's like a roaring lion looking whom he will devour. And yes, we have the victory and our battle belongs to the Lord, but sometimes we're in the fight. Sometimes we've got to call on the name of the Lord. Sometimes we got to remember the word of the Lord. Sometimes we got to send a text to a friend. Sometimes we got to wake up in the middle of the night and say, hey, I was just thinking about you. Can I just join with you in prayer for a moment? In the battle, God's won the battle. The victory's through Jesus, but the battles are still real. Our part is to enforce the victory of the cross by the power of the grace of God. That's our part. Our part is to participate in it. Now that's interesting. Even though some are tied up, shut down, stuck, maybe it's fear has us bound up. Maybe it's intimidation. You know, we live in a world, it's getting a little better lately, but we kind of live in a world where there's a lot of intimidation about your Christian faith. Intimidation about you speaking up for purity and no pornography in our children's books. Speaking up about people killing babies in their mother's womb. Speaking about men or whether men and women are created male and female or something different from that. And that we live in a world that's trying to intimidate us and shut us down and silence it. Anybody feeling that pressure? But God is greater. Greater is the one who's in us than the one who's in the world. There's a name above every name, and the name of Jesus is greater than the name of the culture. The name of Jesus is greater than what people say or some court says or what kind of man-made laws we want to create to protect our sin and reject God. God is greater, and there's a name above every name, and his name is Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But see, we're in this. We need the Spirit of God. We need Him to untie us, set us free from the bondage of culture, set us free from the lies, set us free from the threats and the accusations and intimidations. And I believe there is power. God is setting us free today. God is doing a stirring. There's a stirring of the Spirit. There's a resurrection power being released in the body of Christ in this day. And the Lord says, if you will prepare your hearts for me, I will stir in you. If you will prepare for the personal resurrection I have for you, I will stir up my resurrection power in you, my child. Does that sound like something the Father would say? So you got to test every word. You hold fast to what is true and let go of what is not. But God is encouraging his people. God is freeing his people. Maybe it's fear, maybe it's shame. Shame over the past, and we need to be untied. Sometimes it's shame over things we've done. Sometimes it's shame over the things done to us. And instead of hiding it and burying it and putting a wall around it and pretending like it never happened and pretending like it doesn't still affect your thoughts or your sense of image today, God says, let me bring that out of the darkness and into the light. Here I am. Give it to me. See, but we have to choose to give it to Him. We have to choose to open it up to Him. Kind of like David said, oh, Lord, search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me, any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. Psalm 139. So we have to say, Lord, search me. Am I stuck somewhere feeling ashamed of something in my past? Who here has a past? I see those hands. Altar call time again. We all have a struggle. It's okay to have a past. But what's not okay is to get stuck in the past. Stuck in the failure. Stuck in the shame. Stuck in the regret. stuck in those lies, those words, oh, you're disqualified. You're a second-class citizen now. God can't use you anymore. See, there's nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot forgive if we give it to him. There's no sin he cannot forgive. There's no chain he cannot break. There's no wound he cannot heal if we will call upon the name of the Lord. For all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And say, that word is sozo. It means eternal life, means going to heaven when you die, but it also means healing. It also means deliverance. It means freedom from all that would hold us back from being all God created us to be. And that's available for us all. The blood of Jesus. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All come to knowledge of the truth. God wants us all. And whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So whether that's eternal life, and maybe that's you even today to open up your heart, let Jesus be your Lord and Savior today. Let us celebrate with you today. Or maybe you're stuck where you need healing in your mind, your heart, your emotions, your relationships, some dimension of your life, your finances, your hopes, your dreams, your calling, whatever it is that's broken. He's the God of shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The God of peace. Bring us back to peace with God, peace with one another, peace within ourselves. Let him come and heal us and free us and release us into all that he has for us. Some of us need to be untied today. See, James 4:7, submit yourself to God, resist that devil, and he will flee. He has to go. But we have to first submit it to God. We have to resist it. We have to command it to flee. And then we welcome the Holy Spirit of living God. Come, replace that with something so much better. Amen? That's the inheritance we have, the power of the blood of Jesus. Resurrection power for all who would prepare for the resurrection in our hearts today. Thank you, Lord. You know, fear, shame, regret, rejection. We feel rejected. We feel wounded. We feel unloved. Let God deliver us from that. Let him free us. Let him untie us from that. Let's just tell him, yes, Lord, whatever has me tied up, I renounce it in the name of Jesus. I cast it out of my life. It has to flee and never return. So come, Holy Spirit. Come replace that, Lord, with all you have for me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Who thinks God is moving here this morning? Amen. 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 He's not having us wishfully think about things. He's moving in power. Foolishness to man, but the cross is the power of God to save. Thank you, Lord. So those disciples, they went. They untied that donkey. Jesus sat on that donkey. That donkey fulfilled its purpose and calling and destiny. That donkey brought Jesus into Jerusalem. I tell you what, we're called to bring Jesus wherever he sends us. Called to bring Jesus into that school where we teach. Called to bring Jesus into that Bible study. Called to bring Jesus into that business that we have. Called to bring Jesus onto that massage table. Which that must be the Holy Spirit nudging me to go back to that massage table. Called to bring Jesus wherever we are, to our neighborhood, to our streets, to the nations. I was with my good friends Todd and Debbie Wilman out at Patriot Academy all last week. And God was using Todd to bring Jesus out there to the gun range. We'd be reloading. and God just kept giving Todd revelation after revelation, just applying it. Yeah, these are weapons of our warfare. And we need to hit the mark. And we need to be prepared. And the first fight's the fight in the mind. I mean, all these things. I was like, man, I need to be writing this stuff down. And we ought to have a men's retreat out of here, take a break. And there's Reagan Green, you know, Rick's son. And I'm saying, well, wow, God just given all this revelation, how we got these spiritual weapons. And we should have a men's retreat out here, you know, with our weapons and our spiritual weapons. And he goes, I've been thinking the same thing. So be on standby for the men's retreat out there, learning about the weapons of our warfare and applying it. But wherever we are, we can carry Jesus into the moment. We are created to carry Jesus wherever it is, wherever we are, wherever he sends us. Let's be available to carry Jesus into that. So he went in, and they're waving the palms, and they're declaring, Hosanna in the highest. He who comes in the name of the Lord. They entered in. They entered that place. That always makes me think, as I read that psalm from Psalm 24. Psalm of David speaking prophetically forward to this coming. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. That's a declaration of the sovereignty of God. It all belongs to God. But even though it all belongs to God, he's looking for those who would open up their hearts to him. And that's what I hear in these verses, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. If we're going to have a personal resurrection, God invites us to open up the gates. Open up the gates of our hearts. Open up the gates of our mouths. Welcome the King of glory to come in. The word glory, the glory in the New Testament, they use the word doxa. Talks about praise, and we glorify God like the doxology that you sing in some of our traditional churches. But the word glory in the Old Testament is the word kabod. It means the heaviness of the presence of God. The manifest presence of God. So if we would open up the gates, if we would open up the hearts, if we would call upon the name of the Lord, he comes in his glory. He comes in his manifest presence. If we seek the Lord, we will find him. If we seek him with all our heart, Jeremiah 29. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James 4:10. We give the Lord our hearts. We open up our hearts for him to come near. Jesus said, John 15, abide in me, and I will abide in you. That's an invitation. It's an invitation to say, Lord, here's my heart. Lord, I open the gates. Just like they welcomed you into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, I welcome you into my heart today. I welcome you into my past. I welcome you into my words. I welcome you into my relationships. I welcome you into the places where I'm tied up and bound up and shut down. I welcome you into the places where I felt insecure, or disqualified, or unworthy. King of glory, come in. King of glory, come in. If that's your prayer today, I invite you to stand with me. Stand with me. Let's just declare that to God. Because he wants to use us. Even like that donkey was used by Jesus to bring him into Jerusalem. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. He's God, but God in his sovereignty has chosen to move through us. The Bible says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were making his appeal through us. Through us. That's not us doing it, that's God doing it, but God doing it through us. As we partner with him, as we let him free us and release us and fill us with his spirit, that he can display his glory through our lives. Colossians 1:27, Christ in us, the hope of glory. God's glory in us. Let's tell him, yes, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now say it like you mean it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I open up the gates of my heart, the gates of my mind, that the King of glory may come in. You are the King of glory. King of kings, Lord of lords, glorify yourself in my life, through my life, to the glory of the Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. We invite our prayer ministry team to be up here, and as we worship the Lord in spirit and truth, let him heal, let him free, let him release within us a resurrection, a personal resurrection, because we're preparing the way of the Lord in our hearts. Personal preparation for our personal resurrection. What a holy week. What a holy God. In Jesus' name. Oh, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love you.